John chapter 10. I'm going to be talking over the next couple of days, next couple of times, about hearing God's voice. And what I'm going to be mostly sharing with you is how God talks to me, how God speaks to me. And this is what I'm wanting to share with you is the way that I hear God's voice. I'm going to be building on that. I'm going to lay a little foundation, and then I'm going to share with you four different ways that God talks or that God speaks to me. And I want to impart this. I want this to be something that I can share with you and help you with. In the book of John chapter 10, look with me at verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. Now, let me pause right here just a second. Jesus is here saying, I'm the shepherd, I know my own, and my own know me, even as. In other words, the dimension that we're supposed to know the Lord is the same dimension that we want Him to know us. How many of you really like it when the Lord knows you? How many of you like it when He can recognize your voice and your prayers? So the emphasis that I'm wanting to see here is that the Lord says, I'm the shepherd, I know mine, and mine know me. This is not a one-way street. They know me, I know them, even as. This is the dimension. I know them to the dimension that Father knows me, and they know me the dimension that I know Father. Now, how many of us can truthfully say we have a relationship like that with the Lord Jesus Christ, where we know Him that well? We know Him like He knows the Father. Or we know Him like Father knows Him. And if we're honest with ourselves, we'll see immediately that our relationship with the Lord is somewhat lacking. But the thing that the Lord wants us to see and is emphasizing right this moment to us is that He wants us to come up into a new realm and a new understanding and a new revelation of understanding Him and knowing Him. He wants us to know Him like we want Him to know us. Then He says this, verse 16, and I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they shall hear my voice. And they shall become one flock with one shepherd. Now, what He's saying in this section is that the Jews are not going to be all. The Gentiles are coming in as well. Aren't you glad? And He says, I'm going to bring them in, and they will what? What does your Bible say? Hear my voice. They will hear my voice. And then drop down with me, if you will, to verse 25. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you know, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these bear witness of me. And this is not, I'm just saying this. It's just a slight little thing I'm going to just say. It's interesting to me that a lot of Christians today want to get into this thing where you don't do anything. There's no works. But Jesus says, the way you really know that I'm of the Father is how? By the works that I do. And it's interesting to me to understand that there's something that I'm supposed to do. There's something that will show you that I'm really of God, and it's what I do. But you do not believe me because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Can we say this together? Would you say this after me? My sheep hear my voice. Say that. My sheep and, no, what does the rest of the verse say? And they follow me. Let's say that. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice. Noticing now that the following of the Lord Jesus has got something to do with hearing His voice. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them. Notice that eternal life has got something to do with hearing His voice. And they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. Notice that not being allowed to be snatched out of His hand has got something to do with hearing His voice. Now, let me show you this, that hearing the Lord's voice is not a suggestion. My sheep hear my voice. Is that what it says? Does it say my sheep hear my voice? Sometimes. Does it say my sheep hear my voice? Maybe. No, my sheep hear my voice. What am I saying? I'm telling you, this is not a suggestion. God is talking to you. You are hearing His voice. The problem is not that God's not talking to us. What is the problem? We're not listening. We're not obeying. Have you ever had a conversation, husbands, with your wives, where she's just talking and you're watching television? She's just talking. You're hearing her. And you may be nodding your head, but are you listening? And wives, you do the same things. You know, I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. We do that a lot of times. You know, we hear it, but we're not listening to it. We're not opening ourselves up to it and receiving it in. We're there, but we're not there, you know? And that's kind of what this He's talking to us. We serve a God that talks. Our God talks. Say that with me. Our God talks. Listen, the difference that makes you and me different from any of other God's creation is that we are created in His image and we have the ability to communicate with Him. No other creation, nothing else that God created has that ability. Now, all of creation worships Him, but none other than people have the ability to communicate with Him. That is what makes us different. That is what makes that's what makes Christianity different. Is that our God talks. Our God's alive. Buddha's dead. Everything. But our God is alive. And our God talks. How many believe that God really wants to talk to you? Do you believe that? Well, now, what is the problem? Is it that God's not talking, or is it that we're not listening or not opening up? Well, the problem, we've already said, is that we're not listening and we're not opening up to Him. And I want to show this to you. Look with me in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. This is the end of the letters to the seven churches that are in Asia. Now, what I'm about to read is definitely hooked up to Laodicea. But it can also be an epilogue to all of those. It can be to the seven churches. And it's definitely true to all the churches. We have heard it probably basically given as a salvation scripture, where a preacher gets up and reads this scripture and then gives an altar call for salvation. And truly it is this. Because you've got to start hearing the voice of the Lord. But it's not what I'm wanting us to see, because I want us to see who this is really being spoken to. In Revelation 3, verse 20. Behold! Look, look, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone does what? Hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and will dine with him and he with me. He who overcomes, I will grant to him. Notice that overcoming has got something to do with hearing him. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Please notice that what the emphasis is here is that Jesus is not giving an altar call to lost people. Who is he talking to here? Saints, the churches. He's talking to the church. If you can picture it this way, he stands right there at that door and he says, I want to come into your church. Let me come in. And then he goes to the individual. If any man, if anyone, he wants to have a relationship with his church, but does he want to have a relationship with you? Does he want you to hear his voice? See, is that what it's saying now? Don't let me misinterpret this. It's too important. He stands at the door. I want to come into your church. And then when I get into your church, I want to talk to you. I want to have relationship with you. If you will open your heart to me and allow me to come in, I'll sit down with you. I'll spend time with you. I will communicate with you. I will have good times. We will have a good time. And he says, you'll become my sheep. I'll become your shepherd and you'll follow me. We've got this idea that once we get the idea of what God wants us to do in our lives, he gives us the purposes of life, that he kind of thrusts us out there and lets us take on off. And he's not with us. He's kind of, you know, pushing us on out there. That's not the way it is. What he does is he leads us through life. Am I right? He says, I'm the shepherd. You follow me. They hear my voice and they follow me. And then he's talking about overcoming. Do we understand that if we will hear his voice, follow him, then we can overcome anything, and then we can sit on the throne even as he overcame and sit on the throne? Why? Because he heard Father. He says, I don't do anything except I see my Father do it. I don't say anything except I hear my Father say it. And if we can have that relationship with him, he's leading us through life so that we can overcome every obstacle. We can have an abundant life, and eternal life begins now. So what he's saying here to us is, I want to come in. I want to talk to you. Now, why is it? Let me just ask you a question. Does the church, the worldwide church, corporate church, do they really believe in God speaking today? I'm not talking about you or us. What does the basic church, what does it believe? Does it really believe that God talks? Only to tell preachers to talk to us. And I'm going to talk about that in just a second. You see, I feel like there's two reasons that we don't have that kind of relationship with God that he wants us to have. The first one is that we have been taught most of our time that God really doesn't talk today. Maybe he can talk through a preacher or a particular man of God or somebody like that, but you know, for talking to me, I just don't know. Do you remember when Moorcraft used to come up and minister to us? One day he was standing and he said, it must be an awesome thing for God to speak to somebody. And that was one of the last times he came up, by the way. And I said, what now? Wait a minute now. My sheep hear my voice. And you know, I'm why is it that we move into this mentality that I'm maybe not good enough for God to talk to, or that he don't want to talk to me, or... That's not what he says. That's not what I'm showing you. The first thing that I see in scriptures is that we basically are taught that God does not talk today. Let me suggest emphatically that from Genesis to Revelation, God talks. The very first book of the Bible says, and he said, God said, let there be light. From the very first book to the very end of the book, God is talking. And he's not talking a little bit. God talks a lot. Am I right? But we are basically trained against this. Now, I'm trying to bring balance in this thing because we've had some fruitcakes to tell us that God said this and God said that. And we knew God didn't tell them this. I mean, nobody's ever said this so I can use it. But, you know, it's like, God, I can't go to the bathroom unless God said, told me to. Now, that's not the way the Lord works. And there are fanatics, there are fruitcakes that do abuse what I'm trying to say to you. But for the most part, God really does want to talk to us. And I'll give you an example. Let's use Moses. Let's bring Moses to today. Moses is being interviewed on the Tonight Show. It's not Johnny anymore. Is it Jay Leno? Jay says, Moses, you got the whole Egypt turned upside down here. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it? Moses says, okay. I was doing my job one day, and I looked up on this mountain, and I saw a bush burning. And so I turned, and I went to this bush. It wasn't being burned up. It wasn't being consumed. The leaves weren't burning. They weren't even getting hot or withering. The bark was still intact. Everything was fine, and I watched this bush for a long time, and nothing happened to it. So I went to this bush, and out of the flames started talking to me. And they started telling me what they wanted me to do. These flames did. Now, what would Jay be doing? Uh-huh. And Moses says, well, now, you know, I talked to him for a little while. I argued with the flames, and I told him I really didn't want to do this. But finally, I said, well, okay, if that's what you want me to do. And so I come to... Now, am I right? What would Jay do in this situation? All right, now let me ask you, what would you do? Now, hear me right. What would you do, Steve? If he was watching television and here was this nut and he was telling him that flames were talking to him, would you listen to him? Would you think he's a fruitcake? Yeah, you would. But was God talking to Moses? Note this. The things of the natural make sense to your mind. But the Bible says that the foolish things of God cannot be received by the carnal mind. Let's use one more. Noah. Okay, they take the television cameras out there to Noah's house. He's got this big, massive thing sitting in his backyard, a couple football fields long. What are you doing, Noah? I'm building an ark. Well, what do you want to tell us about this? Well, God told me to build this ark. He told me how to build it and how long to build it, to pitch it in, pitch it out. And he says then he's going to send these animals, and these animals are going to come, and they're going to get in this ark, and then there's going to be a flood. And when the flood comes, he's going to kill all the people in the earth, and he's going to start all over again with me. Now, what would you think if somebody said that? What I'm wanting us to hear is that we have problems when somebody says, God told me. But did God tell Noah to build that boat? And is God wanting to tell you what to build, what to do? And so we're basically taught not to believe people that talk to God. The gifts of the Spirit. One of the reasons that the churches did not function today in the gifts of the Spirit is because we really don't believe God talks. Tongues, interpretation of tongues. Don't believe that. Have you ever heard that? Don't believe that. That's of the devil. No, that's God. That's number one. Basically, we're taught against it. Number two. If I come to the place in my life where I decide that there really is a God that wants to talk to me, now what I have to do is I have to start spending time listening to this voice that wants to talk to me. And then once I begin to hear this voice that wants to talk to me, I have to allow it to invade my life, the ways that I do things, what I want to do, my life, my plans. They're all interrupted because of this voice that's now coming into my life. And we don't want that, folks. All of our lives, you know what? We do what we want to do. We do it when we want to do it. We do it how we want to do it. And when God comes into our lives and we really start listening to Him, let me tell you, all that changes. All of a sudden, He invades my life. All of a sudden, what I thought was important has to be at least put on the back burner. And what He starts saying to me must become priority. Because if I really believe it's God, then I'm really going to do it. So there's basically two reasons that we don't spend time listening to God. One, we really don't believe God's talking to us. And two, we don't want Him to. Am I right? But is He talking? Does His sheep hear His voice? Is He standing at the door and knocking and saying, if any man will talk to me, I'll come in, I'll spend time with him. They'll know me like I know Father. I'll know them like Father knows me. We will have time together. We will sup together. I will lead them through life. They'll follow me. They'll listen to me. They'll overcome everything, every obstacle in life, and they will sit on the throne, ruling and reigning. Is that what God says? Now, just kind of laying a foundation a little bit here. Now, where does God speak to me? Where does God speak to me? Somebody tell me. And let me start. Wherever you, your body, your heart, it's good. Something else. Anybody? Spirit. I heard somebody say a spirit. That's what I want. Okay, Samuel did hear, but he thought it was his ear. It was loud enough, but Eli didn't hear that. What I want is your spirit. God, because no matter if you hear it in your ear or if you hear it from a preacher, you're eventually going to have to hear it in your spirit. Now, where is your spirit? In your body. Biblically now, help me with a little bit, because I don't know if you know where the Spirit's at. Where is your spirit? Where does the Bible say your spirit dwells? Your spirit gives a spot. I thought so. Proverbs chapter 20, look it up for me. Proverbs 20 tells you that the spirit is like the candle, and it's in the belly. It's the newer translation says the innermost part. So where is your mind? Now let's tie this together. Where's your mind? Your mind in your hand? Your mind's in your head. This is not a trick. This is very simple. Your mind's in your head. And where's your spirit? In your belly. So God's speaking to your belly, right? It's going to get better. It's going to be all right. Just a second. My point is that God does not speak to your mind. It will not make sense to your mind. The carnal mind cannot understand the things of God. To your carnal mind, the things of God are foolishness. And where a lot of Christians go shipwreck and where they mess up thinking that God is speaking to them is because they have reasoned this thing out. And they have convinced themselves that God is really speaking to them and they're hearing them hearing God in their mind. God does not speak to our mind. God speaks to our belly. Now, let me tell you what that means, okay? You won't be going around, "Speak to me, Lord." That's why ladies hear Lord so well when they're pregnant. No. Out of the innermost being, it's something deeper than your mind. It's much deeper. When you really hear God, you don't really hear Him in your mind. You hear Him in something much deeper, much in much more depth than your mind. It's so deep, you can't get it out of you. It's so deep in you that it's the light. It lights up. What, have you got chapter verse yet? 20 what? 7? Something. 20 verse 7. 27. Okay? Proverbs 20 and verse 27 talks about that the Spirit of God is like a candle. And it goes about in the belly of the man seeking out the dark places. And so that's what the Bible teaches us that the Spirit is that it's in our belly. Now, what I'm trying to say to you is that God is not going to speak to your mind. And a lot of times when you hear God speak, it's not going to make sense to you. But you will know in your knower, in the innermost part, in the very depth of you. How many of you have ever felt like you've heard the Lord speak to you? Would you raise your hand? You feel like you've heard the Lord speak to you? Raise them up high so I can... That's just about everybody. Very good. Very good. Very good. Now, how many of you feel like you have heard God in an audible voice that you could hear Him with your actual ear? Raise your hand real high. Okay, very, very few. So I am not telling you, because God can't speak that way. But no matter how you hear Him, and I can prove that point by this, biblical ways that God speaks to us, He speaks in dreams, He speaks by angels, He speaks in visions, He speaks by anointed preaching and teaching, He speaks through prophecies, He speaks through the gifts of the Spirit, He speaks through the study of His Word. God speaks in all these different ways. Am I right? But where you must eventually hear Him, where you must eventually hear Him, no matter how it comes, you're going to have to hear Him in your belly. You're going to have to hear Him in your innermost being. No matter how, what way, whatever how it comes, eventually you've got to hear Him in your spirit. It has to become spirit to you. Am I right? No matter if He speaks in an audible voice. He's spoken things to me so loud before in my spirit that I thought everybody around me could hear it. And if I just didn't know that they didn't, then I would have thought that He really did speak to me audibly. But the thing that you've got to know is that eventually, if it's really God, your spirit's going to hear it. If it's really Him, don't try to figure it out in your mind, because that's not what He's after. Deep to deep. God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Deep to deep. Spirit to spirit. The innermost part of your belly. Jesus said this in John chapter 7. He says that out of the belly shall flow rivers of living water. And then the next verse is in parenthesis. And it says, but He spake concerning the Spirit, which was not yet given. It's in your belly. It's in your innermost being. It's the depths of you. It's something deeper than your mind or your reason or your intellect. That's where God's going to speak to you. And this will become more and more clear as we work through this thing over the next couple of weeks. Now, I'm going to get into this. What does the voice of God sound like? Because this is really where I'm wanting to go. This has all kind of been foundational. Now, what does the voice of God sound like? I'll show you an illustration. I've listened to this woman's voice for 26, 27 years. Been married to her 25, okay? But if I tried to explain to you how my wife's voice sounded, it would be very difficult. And it's a very unique voice. It's not like any other voice I've ever heard. It's the higher pitch, or sometimes I don't know how to explain that exactly to you. I can tell you that she has a slight southern drawl, and that when we go someplace, you know, particularly when we're not in the south, up north or down to Florida, they laugh at my wife, not laughing at her, but with her because of the way that she says things. I can tell you that my wife is basically with a monotone. She'll never get mad at you or yell at you. Now, she does. I've heard the other of that. But basically, you know, she's pretty level. But trying to explain to you how it sounds is difficult. Do you understand that? I know Steve real well. But to tell you how Steve's voice sounds is difficult. I can tell you that Steve's pretty level. He's basically monotone. His voice doesn't raise or lower too much. He's a good father. I've seen him speak with authority to his children. I've seen him love them and be forceful with them. I've seen him sing. I've seen him whisper. I've seen him speak pretty loud. You know, Luke, stop that. But to tell you how his voice sounds is very difficult. Now, but at the same time, I don't know Eula that well, but Eula can call me on the telephone, and as soon as I say hello, when Eula starts talking, I recognize Eula's voice. Okay? But it's because I've talked with Eula, I've spent a little time, you know, just communicating, not a whole lot of time, just a little bit. It doesn't take a whole lot of time to learn the voice of the Lord, just a little bit of time, and you'll learn to identify that voice. A stranger will call me on the phone. If he doesn't stop and tell me who he is, I have no idea who this person is. Am I right? People that you spend time with, they can call you on the telephone. You can't see them, but you just hear them, and you know who that person is. But I'm trying to tell how it sounds. It's a totally different thing. So it's a lot easier to try to describe what the voice does or how it works, and then let you spend time with him and learn that voice. And what I'll be saying a lot will just be bearing witness with what you already know. You are already hearing the voice of the Lord. Am I right? Did I show you the scripture? My sheep hear my voice. So you're hearing it. And so what I'll be really sharing with you is really the voice of the Lord and how, and just bearing witness with you. And I want to get the first one. I'm going to give you all four of them right now. And then I'm going to do the first one. And then we'll get the rest of them whenever. But these are the four ways God speaks to me. The four voices or the four ways that God speaks to me. One is the authoritative voice of God. It's a very loud, very terrifying voice. I'm going to talk about that one. The second one is the still, small voice of God. Here and gone. Doesn't stay around very long. It's quiet. Very matter of fact, there and gone. Third one is the witness voice of God, where he speaks to me in my witness. And I just know it's him because I bear witness with it. Romans 8, 28. We know that we're the sons of God because our spirit bears witness with his spirit. And it's a witness thing. And you know God just spoke to you because, bang, there it is. And then fourthly, the one that I really want us to get, the one I want to impart to you, the one that I'm learning about so much right now, is the enlightenment voice of God. Where all of a sudden there's an illumination. He shows you something. Boom, there it is. So those are the four voices or the four ways God speaks to me. I think I'll be able to show you in biblical understanding where these are at. So I want you to turn in the first one, the authoritative voice of God, to Psalms 29. Psalms 29. This first one, the authoritative voice of God, comes and it rattles and it shakes. And it just shakes everything up. Now, you're going to be in Psalms, and I'm just going to give you some thoughts here, because this will make it very clear to you. Do you remember when the nation of Israel come out of Egypt, and they came to Mount Sinai? All right, and God says, sanctify yourself, because I am going to reveal myself to you tomorrow. So, the Bible says that God came down, and there was smoke, there was fire, there was quaking, there was thundering and lightning, and the voice came out like a trumpet, and you know, it just shook everything. This is the authoritative voice of God. And what did the people do? Let me run us through this thing. We just need to understand this. In Exodus 19 and 16, don't turn, please just listen to me. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because of the Lord descended upon it in a fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace. And the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. Now, what happens next is God gives the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not. Am I right? Mountains quaking. Thou shalt not. Then, in chapter 20, that's in chapter 20, and then verse 18. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said to Moses, you speak to us, and we will hear you. But don't let God talk to us. Scared me to death. I didn't like that. Thou shalt not. Who does he think he is? Okay. When God comes in the authoritative voice into our life, it is with a thou shalt and a thou shalt not. Everything shakes and trembles. Everything that you thought was firm and solid, you'll find out how firm and solid it is. And we don't like that. Delbert, you talk to God, and you come on Sunday, and you tell us what He told you all week. You see, it's a total different thing with you believing God told you something to your heart and to your spirit, and me telling you something. Who are you going to obey? You ain't going to obey me. You showed me that. Nobody's going to obey me. Am I right? This is right, isn't it? This is good. Psalms 29. Ascribe to the Lord, O sons of the mighty. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in holy array. Why? What does that mean anyway, worship the Lord in holy array? What is he talking about here? Why do we want to ascribe to the Lord all this stuff? Because His voice is coming. His voice. Glory to God. He's talking. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. And He makes Lebanon skip like a calf. And Siron like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord uses out flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer to calf and strips the forest bare. And in His temple, everything says glory. Now, I want to point out two things. First of all, notice that when the voice of the Lord and the authoritative voice comes into your life, all of a sudden, He tears up everything. Things that are rooted in your life, He comes in, He rips them and He tears them, and He comes in with fire, and He burns up all this stuff, and He's going around, and all of a sudden, there's a skipping. It's so contrasting. One time, He's tearing it up, and the next thing you know, you're skipping. You're happy. And He starts tearing up again, and then you birth something. Birth of a calf. It's so contrasting. There's this coming in, and man, it's a boom, and then all of a sudden, it's the opposite. When the voice of the Lord comes into your life, let me tell you this. I don't think you'll ever have real joy in your life until the authoritative voice of the Lord comes into your life. When He comes in and tears up all your mess, then you can start getting happy. When He comes in and tears up all our mess, then we can start birthing something. Spirit. Do you see those two thoughts there? I just want to show us this. I'm going to one more scripture. Revelation, please, chapter 14. And then we're done for today. While you're turning, I'm going to read a couple of verses to you. Exodus 43:2 says, "And behold, the glory of God of Israel came from the way of the east, and His voice was like the noise of many waters, and the earth shined with His glory." Daniel 10:6 says, "His body also was like a barrel, and His face as the appearance of lightning. And His eyes as lamps of fire, and His arms and His feet like the color of polished brass, and the voice of His words like the voice of a multitude." Revelation 1:15. "And His feet like unto fine brass as they burned in a furnace, and His voice as the sound of many waters." Revelation 14:2. Read it with me. "And I heard a voice from heaven like the sound of many waters and like the sound of loud thunder. And the voice which I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps." John says, I heard this voice. And to start with, man, it was like waters. It was like thunder. And it came in, and that's all I could hear. And then after I heard it a little while, the voice was like harps and melodious. And so when the authoritative voice of God comes into our life, it consumes you. It comes in tearing up, destroying, breaking down, pulling up, coming in. But yet you're happy because you know God is truly dealing with your life and that God really does love you
and that God cares about you. And then the next thing you have, He'll come in and you'll start bringing birth to things in the realm of the Spirit. And it's loud, but then all of a sudden, it's like harps playing. It's skipping. I'll give you a personal example. Judy and I last year went to Niagara Falls. If you ever go to Niagara Falls, don't stop at the American side. Go right across customs into the Canadian side, and you'll start going down beside the falls. And that thing will start consuming you while you're in your car. As you drive down and you start seeing this massive work of God, it starts consuming you while you're in your car. You'll park, you'll go through this little building, and you'll walk out to the edge of Niagara Falls. You'll walk as close as you can. They've got these rails around. And you'll stand there. And then, folks, let me tell you, when you go to Niagara Falls, you don't stand there and yawn. It controls you. It consumes you. You can hear nothing but millions and millions and millions of gallons of water tumbling off of this fall, falling hundreds of feet and crashing into the water below. And we were there in the cold and it was boiling up and there was fog and it was massive and you heard all you could hear. She was standing right next to me and I couldn't hear her and she couldn't hear me. And we had to talk really loud to each other. And this thing was boiling and burning and boy, it was something. And it consumes you. Like many waters. But then after you stand there a while and you grow accustomed to that majesty and that power, you start hearing the whoosh of it, the rhythm of it. Am I right? Dr. Cash, you've been there. Am I right? Another one. You go to the lake, the ocean. And if you've ever been there where there's like 8 feet waves coming in, they crash at the beach. And all of a sudden, the first thing that grasps you is all this commotion, all this sound as this wave comes crashing in on the beach. And then after you stand there and you listen to it for a little while, you start hearing the melody of it and the rhythm of the waves. Many waters, but yet there's a rhythm. There's a peace there. There's a serenity, even though all this is going on. Personal example. In my spiritual walk now, that was the natural, now the spiritual. 1982, I had my degree in biblical studies. I was founded. I had deep-rooted cedars in my life, doctrines of men. Read many, many books, done all my papers, done real well on all my tests, and I was a theologian. 1982, the authoritative voice of God blew into my life. All of a sudden, all my cedars of Lebanon was broke to pieces. All of a sudden, all these nice things that I had built up and thought I understood was consumed by the fire of God. All of a sudden, these things that I had built my life on and thought and had taught and had tried to get people to believe and had ministered to people, all of a sudden I found they weren't real. And the voice of the Lord had blown in there and had twisted and broken pieces everything that I had thought I knew. But yet I was happy because I really knew God was showing me something. Total confusion, chaos in my life. I would try to share it with my wife and she says, "You can't say that." Try to teach it in my Sunday school class and when I preached. And people, it brought the voice of the Lord in their life. And all of a sudden it was tearing down and breaking down everything in their life. 1982, but God was doing something in me. And it wasn't until after this happened that I found out my purpose. That something was birthed in my life. And because of that experience, the authoritative voice of God in my life, many of you have come into a deeper walk and a new walk in the things of God. Something was birthed, not only in me, but in my family and in many of you. The voice of the Lord comes in. If you really want the voice of the Lord, this is step number one. You have got to let Him come in. Tear apart, break up, all that stuff. But yet you'll be happy and something will be birthed. The voice of the Lord thunders. The voice of the Lord. Let me read to you. It breaks in like thunder and power, but as majesty. And we know it's God. This is the voice that breaks to pieces what I think. But yet makes me skip with happiness because I know God is speaking to my life and for my happiness. It's like a fire that consumes and burns away all the wood, the hay, and the stubble, yet births what He wants birthed in me. When I hear it, I say, glory. How many of you feel like you've ever experienced the voice of the Lord in your life? The authoritative voice of God, He comes in. How often will this happen? How often will the voice of the Lord speak to me like this? Well, I don't believe it ever stops. Now, I know that there's different things here that some people think that this only happens one time or very seldom in a life. I don't see it that way. I think it's a continuation that God will just continue to speak to you or to me or to anybody else. And especially the effects of that voice. it continues to have reoccurrences in our lives, and it continues to tear down and come through. And from time to time, He will just invade your thoughts. From time to time, He will just invade you like thunder. Have you ever been laying in the bed in the middle of the night, and you look out the window, and all of a sudden there's this light flash, poof, and you know it's lightning, and you know that there's going to be a thunderclap really, really close. And all of a sudden, here comes that thunder. Boom! And the house shakes and the windows rattle. You ever experienced that? That's what's happening in the spirit when this happens to you. There's an enlightenment. Boom! And then all of a sudden, things shake. God's testing the foundation. He's adjusting, showing you places in your life needs assurance. You're happy, and then something can be birthed. That's the authoritative voice of God. What's God saying to us today? Number one, He's talking to you. Turn to the person beside you and say, God's talking to you. Say that. Man, number one, He's talking to you. He's talking to us. His sheep hear His voice. He is talking. Number two, I have got to open up and listen. I have got to open the door of my heart, of my life, and say, come in, God, and fix me. I know I'm not going to like it. I know I'm not going to like going to do this or doing that. But, Lord, You come in and You fix me. And number three, thing I wanted you to see today is the authoritative voice of God. When He comes in, man, He'll come in and tear up and break up and tear down, but it's to make you happy and it's to birth something out of you to somebody else. It's been all right? Amen. Let's stand.